Good morning. Welcome to EMP. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness this morning. We thank you for your presence that is in this place. We pray that your word will speak to us, that it will challenge us and encourage us to continue to build what you have called us to build as we continue to move forward in these areas of our lives. So, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's reading is from Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious. He mocked the Jews before his colleagues and the powerful men of Samaria and said, "What are these pathetic Jews doing? Can they restore it? Restore it by themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they ever finish it? Can they bring these burnt stones back to life from the mounds of rubble?" Then Tobiah the Ammonite, who was beside him, said, "Indeed, even if a fox climbed up what they are building, he would break down their stone wall. Listen, our God, for we are despised. Make their insults return to their own heads, and let them be taken as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their guilt or let their sin be erased from your sight, because they have angered the builders." So we rebuilt the wall until the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had the will to keep going working. When Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, Ammonites, Ashdodites heard that the repair to the walls of Jerusalem was progressing and that the gaps were being closed, they became furious. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and throw it into confusion. So we prayed to our God and stationed a guard because of them day and night. In Judah, it was said, "The strength of the laborer fails. Since there is so much rubble, we will never be able to rebuild the wall." And our enemy said, "They won't realize it until we're among them and can kill them and stop the work." When the Jews who live nearby arrived, they said to us time and again, "Everywhere you turn, they attack us." So I stationed people behind the lowest sections of the wall at the vulnerable areas. I stationed them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I made an inspection, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the great and awe-inspiring Lord, and fight for your countrymen, your sons and daughters, your wives and homes." When our enemies heard that we knew their scheme and that God had frustrated it, every one of us returned to his own work on the wall. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half held their spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers supported all the people of Judah who were rebuilding the wall. The laborers who carried the loads worked with one hand and held a weapon with the other. Each of the builders had his sword strapped around his waist while he was building, and the trumpeter was beside me. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "The work is enormous and spread out, and we are separated far from one another along the wall. Wherever you hear the trumpet sound, rally us there. Our God will fight for us." So we continued the work while half of the men were holding spears from daybreak until the stars came out. At the same time, I also said to the people, "Let everyone and his servants spend the night inside Jerusalem so they can stand guard by night and work by day. And I and my brothers, my servants, and the men of the guard with me never took off our clothes. Each carried his weapon when even washing." So we continue looking at this story of Nehemiah, of the rebuilding process of from the beginning of when Nehemiah was moved in compassion, when God stirred his heart and called them to rebuild the wall. And along the way, we've seen the blessing and the hand of God for what God had called them to do. And in this chapter, And slowly throughout the chapters, we read that there was some opposition. But here in chapter 4, we actually get to see fully the opposition that Nehemiah and the builders faced. And so the title of today's quick devo is called Prepare to Fight. That word prepare to fight is having the state of readiness and is normally tied with war, especially for war. Having a readiness, especially for war. And I think there's something to be said about in this chapter of us having a spirit of fighting, of being prepared to fight. I don't think anyone ever wants to be fighting, but there has to be within us a willingness and a prepared to fight. And so here in Nehemiah, we see that there's this individual, Sanballat, who leads others, and that who, by hearing the rebuilding of the wall, it is said that he became furious and he began to mock the Jews. And so essentially he's making fun of the Jews and he's mocking them. And the words he says, who are these pathetic Jews? What are these pathetic Jews doing? So these are the words that he's doing, and these are the words that he's saying. He says, can they restore it by themselves? Will they offer sacrifice? Will they ever finish it? And so he's insulting who they are as a people. He's calling them pathetic. Other versions read, he's calling them feeble. And he's saying he's insulting their ability to even do the work. They're like, are you even going to be able to restore it? Will you even finish it? And then he even insults the possibility of their work. He says, can they bring back these burnt stones back to life from the mounds of the rubble? They're like saying, look how impossible this is. And I think this is important in our lives, because sometimes there will be people in our lives that speak against what we're trying to build in our lives. Whether it's something that God has called us to do, or is this something in your life that there's a desire for you to do, something that there's a desire in your life to pursue, that people will just speak up against it. Now, it could be maybe from a place of malice, of evil intent in their heart, that they see what they're doing and they just want to tear you down. Or maybe sometimes it's unintentional, that sometimes it just happens from just unintentional, but it's still in some way mocking and discouraging to your life. Maybe a parent, you tell your parent, oh, you know, I would love to do this. And your parent just says, oh, you can never do that. Now, they may not be intentionally be like, oh, I want to destroy you and I want to tear you down. But just a simple passing by comment is enough to discourage you and to bring you down. So I think when it comes to being mocked, to having people discourage us, I think it could happen intentionally or non-intentionally in our lives. But here we see Sanballat, that he's intentional about mocking the people of Jerusalem. And the question is, how do we handle when we are discouraged and when people mock what we're doing and are trying to bring us down? Because that will happen in our lives. Especially whenever we share what we're wanting to pursue in our lives. And that could do it as simple as someone says, hey, you know, there's this business idea that I want to do. Someone then starts saying, oh, well, you know what? That field is so overly saturated. You know, you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't pursue it. Now, I'm not saying that's not wisdom or anything, but just the simple words of someone saying something, suddenly you're like, you know what? Maybe they're right. I don't. And suddenly we shrink back. And so what do we need in our lives to be able to fight through that, to be able to overcome, as Pastor Jackie shared on Sunday, through the discouragement in the fears in our lives? Because we have, even though God has called them to do something, it doesn't exempt the people of God from then going through discouragement and being mocked. Sometimes as Christians, we feel that, okay, God has called me to do something, so he's paved the way. Honestly, I think most of us feel like we would like to be Moses and God just parts the Red Sea. It's kind of just like, oh, from here to there is just a clear way through. But sometimes I think our path kind of looks like this. God has called me there. Now I got to make my way through these chairs and still fight through things in my life. And so how well do you handle discouragement in your life when people speak against what you're trying to build, or what people speak about what God is trying to do in your life? And I would say even what you speak against yourself. Sometimes the person that discourages the most in our lives is sometimes ourselves. The words that we speak to ourselves, the words that we say to ourselves, that we say, oh, I can never do that. Oh, how could that possibly be? God, how could you ever use? All right, those are the words that we speak to ourselves, and suddenly we're our own Sanballat in our lives. And so, here in verse 4, then Israel begins to pray, listen, our God, for we are despised. And now, we don't see this in the New Testament anymore because we're called to pray for our enemies. But here the Israelites pray a prayer of revenge that says, make their insults return on their own heads and let them be taken a plunder to a land of captivity. Essentially, they're praying for the same thing that has happened to them to happen to them. But in the New Testament, God calls us to something different, that we pray for those that curse us, that we pray for those that hate us. And so this angered the builders. And I think there's something that to be said in terms of when people discourage us, when people speak against us, people either have the response to either use that as something that, as an excuse as to why they can't do what they've been called to do or wanting to do in their lives, or some people use it as a fuel to want to do it even more so in their lives. And so as we continue reading here, it gets to the place that it gets violent now. Before, it was just people mocking them. It's just people are furious at them. People are angry at them for wanting to rebuild the wall. But things get a bit more violent. In verse 7, it says that as they saw and heard that they were progressing. Remember, there are some people in your life that when you're progressing and moving forward, that they're just going to hate in some way. And they saw that the gaps were being closed. They became furious. And sometimes people become furious and they see our growth and they see how we're moving forward. And then sometimes it's just a reflection of themselves or a frustration they have in their own lives that they see you moving forward, but they see themselves being in the same spot. And so what does it say? They plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to throw them into confusion. So we pray to our God and station a guard beside because of them day and night. And so they try to throw confusion. And what is the response of Nehemiah? Is to station a guard. And it's said in verse 10, the strength of the labor fails. I'm sorry, let me go back to verse 6 because I like that word in verse 6 where it says, for the people had the will to keep going. In a different version, the ESV says, so we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its heights, for the people had a mind to work. And I like that. The will to keep working. That is what gets us in some way when people are discouraging us. That is normally what destroys and discourages us, and that is what destroys us, is our will to continue moving forward. And I like that verse from the Israelites where it says, the people had the will to keep working. And maybe there's an area in your life where you've faced so much discouragement, either because of circumstances, either because of others in your life, or because of what you have spoken against yourself, that you've lost the will to keep working. You've lost the will to keep moving forward. But here we see the people of Israel continue to have the will to continue to move forward. And so we get to verse 10 where it says, the strength of the labor fell since there is so much rubble, we will never be able to rebuild the wall. And so they get to this place of discouragement. These are their words. Our strength is failing. There's so much to continue to do. We will never be able to rebuild the wall. And I think many of us sometimes get to that place of discouragement. Again, those are the words they're saying now to themselves. Remember, they've been mocked from the outside, and now their circumstances are is changing because Sambala and those against the Israelites are now getting violent and aggressive toward them. And now these are the words they're speaking against themselves. They're saying, we're tired, our strength is failing, and we'll never be able to rebuild the wall. And so this is now their enemies in verse 11, that they won't realize it among them. And it says, they won't realize it until we're among them and can kill them and stop the work. When the Jews who live by arrive, they said to us, time and again, everywhere you turn, they attack us. Now, I don't think anyone here is suffering from any physical violence, or I don't think anyone really is maybe trying to take us out physically. I sure hope that. I hope not. But if we look that in just in the idea of people in our lives that are just trying to bring us down, that are trying to destroy, that are trying to mock us, bring confusion, and are trying to destroy the will in our lives to continue to move forward. And that could even be in our faith. That could just be someone just continually questioning why we follow Jesus. They're continually saying, oh, why do you follow Jesus? That doesn't make sense. You're so dumb. You're so stupid. Whatever it may be that is just trying to destroy our will to continue to move forward. And even in the same way, if we're wanting to see God move in a powerful way, it's like, oh, yeah, God doesn't heal anymore. That's not for today. Why do you do this? Why do you pursue that? And so maybe in some way, that's how we face the attack from others in our lives. And so what is Nehemiah's response? Nehemiah's response is, they station people behind the lowest section of the wall at the vulnerable areas. And it says that they stood with swords, spears, and bows. And it says in verse 16, from that day on, half of the men did the work, while the other half held their spears, shields, bows, and arrows. And in verse 17, who were rebuilding the wall, the laborers who carried the loads worked with one hand and held a weapon with the other. And I like that balance of being able to, I'm going to continue to do the work, but remember, it's having a preparedness to fight, a readiness. And that's what the Israelites have. The Israelites were not out looking to a fight for the sake of fighting. They just wanted to focus on what God had called them to do. But at the same time, in one hand, they're working. In the other hand, it says they had a weapon. And there was a readiness and a preparedness to fight. And I think that's essential in our lives, as Jackie mentioned on Sunday, in some way when he briefly messaged this passage, is that we live in this tension and we have to have a willingness and a preparedness in our lives to continue to work, but yet have a readiness in our lives to fight the battles that come against us. I think most of us are just fully just saying, you know what, everything will be easy and good along the way. But no, the reality of our lives, even Jesus said, that you will have trouble and sorrow in this world. But he says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. And so we have to have a readiness and a preparedness in our lives to fight battles in our lives, whether it's fighting for a relationship that we believe is God-sent, whether it's fighting for our marriage, whether it's fighting for our children, whatever battle God has called you to be. If you feel God has called you to a specific place of work, but you're finding a discouraging, but God has called you there, I challenge you not to just be, oh, this place is too hot. But if God has called you there and he's placed you to be a light, then fight to be that light. Continue to work, but have a spirit of fighting and a willingness to engage. And then in verse 19, just to finish up here. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is enormous and spread out, and we are separated far from one another along the wall. When you hear the trumpet sound, rally us there. Our God will fight for us. I'm not sure what the ESV version reads it as. Same thing, it uses the word rally to us there. And as I was reading that passage, I like that passage because sometimes when we're facing battles in life, I like that he says, hey, we're spread out, But when you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally us there. Essentially is, we'll blow the trumpet, and wherever the fight is needed, that is where we will meet and fight. And I like that because I think we need people in our lives as well. We need people in our lives that we can rally together when we're going through battles in our life, that we can blow the trumpet, where we could ask for help, when we could raise our need, and that they will stand with us and fight as well. So the question for this part is, are you fighting every battle by yourselves, or are you inviting others to fight with you as well? And lastly there, it says, our God will fight for us. And so we live in this tension that God calls us to work and to have a readiness to fight, but also with his invitation that says that I will fight for you as well. And so as we go into a time of worship and just rethink and just meditating on this passage is, are you feeling discouraged because of your circumstances or because of what others have said against you? Or maybe your own words. You've discouraged, you've spoken so negatively about, you've mocked yourself so bad that you've discouraged yourself. And you need to be reminded to not just lay down and give up, but to have the willingness to continue the work and to have a fighting spirit and to have other people in your life. And so, Father, I pray that as we go into a time of worship, that if there's been discouragement in our lives, I pray that we would continue to have the will to move forward, that we would be ready to fight if that is what is needed in the moment, in this moment of our lives, that we would fight against our circumstances, that we would fight against the mocking and the negativity that others throw against us, that we would fight against the negativity and the mocking that we speak against our own selves at times, that we would fight against that and have the will to continue. And I pray that you would place people in our lives that when we blow the trumpet in our lives, that they will rally with us to fight the battles, that we would not fight these battles alone, but that you will fight with us and with those you have placed in our lives. So, Father, we thank you for your word as we go into a time of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, everything around me shaken. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down, faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. Joy in chaos, I've got peace that makes no sense. I won't be going under. I'm on strength. I built my life on Jesus. He's never let me down, faithful in every season. So why would he? He won't fail. out on you. I'm saving you. I'm gonna make it through. Rain came, wind blew. My house was built on you. I'm saving you. I'm gonna make it through. I'm gonna make it through. I'm standing strong on you. I'm gonna make it through. My house was built on you. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Everything around me shaken. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down, faithful through generations. So why would he fail?
Yes, Father, we bring our discouragement to you this morning. Father, I pray that if we've been feeling discouraged by the mocking or the words of others in our lives, or whether because of our circumstances, or because of the words that we speak to ourselves, we bring that discouragement to you. Ask that you, that by your Spirit you breathe life into us, that you breathe the will to continue to fight, continue to build what you have called us to build, that we would not let discouragement hold us back from what you have called us to do, that though our strength may fail, you do not fail us, that you fight for us. And so, Father, I prayed that there'd be a fighting spirit in us. Just as Paul wrote to Timothy to fight the good fight, that we would take up that challenge to have a fighting spirit and to fight the good fights in our lives. That there are times in our lives where we just have to stand up and be a bit more aggressive in what we're fighting for in our lives. And so, Father, I just pray for anyone that's been discouraged because of their faith, that there's been people around them, whether it be friends or family, that maybe they're questioning why they are pursuing you, God. Why Christianity? Why believe in Jesus? That you would encourage them and that they would continue to fight and contend for their faith in their lives. And, Father, I pray that you would put people around us in our lives, that you would use house church as a place where we could blow the trumpet in our lives, and the people in our house church would be the ones that rally with us when there's a fight and a battle going on in our lives. But that we would also be the people that when the trumpet sounds, that we would rally with others as well. That we would rally with others and we will say that I will stand with you. I will fight for you. I will pray with you. I will mourn with you. I will spend time with you. And so, Father, we just pray for those people in our lives, and we pray for us to be those type of people as well in the lives of others. And so, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you are building in our lives, that though discouragement may come, we continue with the will to continue to press forward and continue to fight regardless. As your word says, that you who began a good work will bring it to completion. And so, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's move into a time of community prayer as we come to the front.